and welcome to the Ultimate Love Life Makeover Dating Mastery for Women. I'm Cami Ellen, your host, and I'm so happy that you're here with us. Each day during this virtual summit, you will learn tips and tools from our world-class experts on all things related to dating and attraction. This wisdom will help you date and relate with unshakable confidence and become a woman who can inspire a great love. We are standing for you to create nothing less than lasting, luscious love, your ultimate love life makeover. And I can't think of anyone better to be speaking about this topic of lasting, luscious love than my next guest expert, which is Susan Bratton, who will be talking today on the topic of sexual soulmates. Sexual soulmates are co-created. There is so much great dating and relationship advice out there, but you know, not every love and relationship and dating expert talks about sex in such a frank, honest way. And that's what I really love about Susan. So for women who are looking to create the ultimate love life makeover, sex and sexuality is such an important piece. So I'm really excited about the conversation that we're about to have. But before we get started, I just want to tell you a little more about Susan. Susan Bratton is a champion and an advocate for all who desire passionate relationships. Considered the Dear Abby of hot sex to fans around the world, Susan's fresh approach to sex techniques and bedroom communication skills help millions of people of all ages and across the gender spectrum transform sex into passion. Susan's straightforward lovemaking advice is rooted in her personal experience of watching her marital intimacy wither as she and her husband pursued dynamic careers. When her relationship hit a crisis point, Susan made a fierce commitment to do whatever it took to hold her family together and revive the passion in her marriage. Today, she and her husband have the kind of dream relationship that most people stopped believing was even possible until they discover her practical tips. So after 15 years and over 30,000 hours of research and practice, teaching and testing, Susan distilled the six simple essentials that ignite passionate lovemaking into her latest number one international best-selling book, Sexual Soulmates. She's a serial entrepreneur who was named a Silicon Valley Woman of Influence and Ad Age Top 10 Internet Pioneer. Susan and her company, Personal Life Media, Inc., have been featured in the New York Times and appeared on the Today Show, ABC, CBS, CNBC, CW, Fox, and NBC. Beloved for speaking from the heart and shooting from the hip, that is what I love about her. As well, she's written over 20 books and programs, including Sexual Soulmates, Relationship Magic, The Passion Patch, 30 Romance Tricks That Work Like Magic, and Revive Her Drive. She has thousands of fans who devour her Better Lover YouTube videos. And she publishes the work of other highly respected sexuality educators, including Dr. Patricia Taylor's Expand Her Orgasm Tonight and Seduction Trilogy programs, Tallulah Sulis, Female Liquid Orgasm, and Keep Her Coming programs, Jim Benson's Multi-Orgasmic Lover for Men, and her steamy sex ed video collection of 200-plus heart-connected lovemaking techniques. And perhaps what is most impressive are the more than 1,000 deeply personal thank you notes that she has received from fans worldwide for her positive contribution to their sex lives. So welcome, Susan. So happy to have you with us.
Is there any time left?
Yeah. Okay, we have to go.
No. Hi, everybody. I hope that was a long intro. That's what happens when you get old.
That's right. But all good stuff. And as I said, who better to talk about this topic? And I would love to hear just a little bit. I know you touch on this a bit in your bio, but can you tell us a little bit more about how it is that you came to be a sex and relationship expert?
Yes. Through my own pain and agony.
How we learn best.
Exactly. Unfortunately and exactly. I started out 26 years ago, married to a wonderful man. We had very busy Silicon Valley careers. We had a daughter. And over the years, we ended up becoming less and less intimate. And my husband he tried everything to get me to have sex with him. And for some reason, I was just, you know, like, I had the baby and I had my career and he was doing the same old things and it wasn't that good for me. And I just didn't really want to have sex with him very much. It was kind of like I just gave him mercy sex. And that bummed me out because my whole life I have always wanted to have good sex. Sex has always been important to me and I've always been kind of like chasing great sex. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find it for a long time. I found it with my husband when we fell in love. But then that new relationship energy wore off. And also, I was one of those women who could have an orgasm, but not from intercourse, not from penetration. And so after a decade of having my husband have sex with me where I didn't have an orgasm from intercourse, and I call the orgasm gap, you know, 95% of the time men can have an orgasm and maybe half the time some of us can sometimes have an orgasm from intercourse. And really, that was what I think, if I look back on it, that was the thing that actually drove the wedge, was that plus I just got bored with the same-o. And now that I have spent a decade learning about sexuality all the way down to the hormone level and the, you know, ancient history biological level and all of the latest psychology and MRIs and all that stuff too, what I realize is that for men being testosterone-driven versus women being estrogen-driven, that for a man, he would be perfectly happy just having intercourse every single day for the rest of his life exactly the same way. I mean, that's a bit of an overstatement, obviously, because men like variety too.
Sure.
The reality is that for guys, it's pretty easy for penis and vagina sex for them to have sexual satisfaction.
Right.
For women. So a lot of women spend their entire marriage having sex with their husband just because they like the intimacy, not because they have the orgasms. And it's really the orgasms that keep you young and healthy. If you read any of the latest data now, it's kind of like, have you heard of high intensity interval training?
Yes, HIIT.
So that's a HIIT. That's where you like, you're working out and then you do just like a burst of energy and that's, you don't have to work out as much. You just work out a little bit, but you do like bursting things.
Right.
Sex is high intensity interval training for your circulatory system. It's what keeps you full of, it gets your blood vessels full, dilated, because we have as much erectile tissue up inside our vulvas as men do in their penises. And so that was one of the other mistakes I was making at first with my husband, was I was just kind of rushing sex and I wasn't allowing myself or even allowing my husband to get me fully engorged and turned on. So it's a mistake that a lot of women make. That's one of my best pieces of advice for closing that, bridging that orgasm gap. But for men, you know, they like variety, but we women need variety. We need a lot of different kind of stimulation. We need full body stimulation. When we get that and we have an orgasm, when we're in a safe place and we're comfortable and it feels good and we have an orgasm, it helps us with our circulatory system, with our cognitive function, with memory, lessens our chances for heart attack and Alzheimer's and stroke. And what's also great about it, if you're a heterosexual couple, because remember, for me, I support people across the gender spectrum of all ages, all around the world. I'm very mainstream as a sexpert. Mm-hmm. So what if you happen to be a heterosexual woman married to a man and you have your birth control handled in different ways, and I don't recommend the pill. And if you want to circle back about why, I'm happy to say it, but this is maybe not the forum for it. You can find that stuff on my website. You actually get a really healthy dose of wonderful ingredients from your man's ejaculation. You get testosterone, which gives you courage and lowers your anxiety. And you get estradiol and estrogen, but not estrone, which is the estrogen that makes you get breast cancer. You don't get that one. And you get all these wonderful things, serotonin, you get a boost of happiness. There are so many studies now that say women who've had satisfying sex their whole lives. They just, they're happier, they live longer, they're healthier. They're just like, they pull ahead of people who don't have a lot of satisfying sex. And so when Tim and I were like, this is not working. Should we get a divorce? And I was like, I could replace you, but I could never do better than you. I love you. Let's try and fix it. And he's like, let's try and fix it. You need to have more sex with me. And I'm like, well, maybe you need to get better at it. You know, we were doing all that stuff. We took a bunch of workshops and we learned how to have good sex. And holy cow, once we learned a few things, we're like, whoa, this is what I've always wanted. This is what we were talking about. And we've never looked back. Like that, just getting that education turned us around. So in my Sexual Soulmates book, which I'm not here to flog it, you can buy it if you want to. I give it most of the stuff away everywhere, but I'm going to give you at the end of this, I'm going to give you one chapter, what I think is the best chapter of anything I could give you that will change your sex life. And we're going to talk about this later with Cammy. But the thing is that if you learn how to have good sex, sex is a learned skill. Making a baby, you can figure that out yourself. Learn how to do that. It kind of naturally happens, right? But people put so much energy into having a child. But if they had put as much energy into learning how to make love, how to make mad, passionate love and keep the flames alive, oh my gosh, there'd be a lot less divorces. There'd be a lot less cheating. The two reasons the couples end up on a therapist's couch are they can't stop fighting or one of them cheats. And the can't stop fighting is a tiny little part of it, and it's almost all cheating. That's why couples end up in therapy. So you can do that. You can do it going in knowing some things I'm going to tell you right now and establishing a relationship with a man. Because really what we're talking about here is not what happens when you're old and married like I am 26 years later, but what happens, you know, when you're meeting a guy, what happens on the first date, the second date, when should you have sex with them? How do you turn that boyfriend into a sexual soulmate? If you're listening to my episode of this with Cammy, then your sex life matters to you. And so I hope I'll have some really positive impact for you.
Well, thank you so much for sharing more of your background. And this leads us into my next question for you. Mm-hmm. So yes, there are women listening who are out there dating, and they're really wanting to create what I'm calling a love life makeover, but they're really wanting to know, well, how do I know when to have sex with someone or not, or whether to have sex with someone or not? And you have a structure for figuring that out. So what is that?
Yeah, it's funny. It may seem not very romantic when I say it, because people want to be swept away in a fit of passion.
Yes.
But I think you need to be a grown-ass woman and protect yourself, protect your body and your heart and your spirit when you think about sex. So I actually like to encourage women to have a lot of sex with a lot of different guys if certain conditions are met. And that's because the more lovers that you have, hey, you're single. This is your time, mama. The more lovers that you have, the better you get in bed. The more experiences you have, the more you realize what you like and don't like. And in the not liking things, so let's just say you have one that you don't like. Well, that tells you a lot about what you do like, because you like that, not that. And so when you go into these sexual experiences, you know, do you want to date a guy? Do you want to have sex with a guy on the first date? I don't think so most of the time, because I think if you're looking for a boyfriend, you shouldn't have sex on the first date.
Yeah.
That being said, there are moments when there's so much chemistry that it's the right thing in that moment and there is nothing wrong with it. It's your sexuality. It's a part of your self-expression. It's your vitality. It's your creativity. It's your womanliness. And don't squander opportunities over, well, I shouldn't have sex on my first date. You know, right. You make that decision based on all the stuff you're taking in. And here's the number one thing that I think should be first and foremost in your mind when you're thinking about having sex with someone. And that is, what's his STI situation? How many people has he had sex with? I think you have to have the safe sex talk. On my YouTube channel, I have how to have the safe sex talk, when to have the safe sex talk, and the 8 questions to talk about in the safe sex talk. So it's all there for you, which is very helpful. And it's all written down too in the notes, so you can just copy and paste it on your phone, and then you've got the 8 questions on your phone. So we could skip that, but there are like 20 STIs that you can get. And so you have to be very careful. And a lot of things the condom can't contain. So I think a sexual history is very important. Understanding how many partners that person has had, how recently they've been tested, are they being regularly tested? And then basically if they're a man whore and they've never been tested, don't sleep with them. Like, yeah. Let them go get tested.
Stay safe.
Yes, you've got to protect yourself because the vaginal mucosa is like a big STI sponge. Like, dudes have it great because they've got all that hard shell on their penis, where we've got all this sticky, gooey, trappy stuff that loves bacteria and viruses. And believe me too, that I used to be a real proponent for just kiss him and use your hands on him or her. Don't put your mouth on his genitals and don't have genital to genital contact. But now more and more, like, Lyme disease is a sexually transmitted disease. They say 30 Americans have it. It's a spirochete, exactly like syphilis, only you can kill syphilis with penicillin. You can't kill Lyme with penicillin. It could end up giving you chronic diseases for the rest of your life. I mean, there's a lot on the line with sex.
So in the heat of the moment, you want to be really careful. Yeah. Have this conversation prior.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, a lot of people say, you know, this will ruin the moment. Say, you know what will ruin the moment is you got pregnant, you got syphilis, you got Lyme disease, you got, you know, trichinomiasis, you got whatever, chlamydia, you got herpes, you got HPV, you got, like, I could keep going. There's 20 STIs.
Well, do you have a good script? So say a woman is out, whether it's the first date or 3 weeks or 3 months or whatever, she's deciding, okay, I want to sleep with this guy. What do you have a script for what she can say to cover these issues?
Yeah, say, look, my sexual health is very, very important to me. I don't want to get anything or give anything. And so before I sleep with someone, I always like to get STI, current STI tests. That being said, if we can't do that, when was the last time you were tested? We definitely need to use a condom. How many partners have you had recently? Did they have STI tests? You know, like, get a sense of where they are with it. People are not very sophisticated. And so it could blow your opportunity to have sex with that person at that point. And that might be just fine because you're standing for your health and you're standing for their health and you're wanting to do things in the right way. But the basic questions are, you know, how many people have you had sex with in the last 6 months? Do you have any sexually transmitted diseases currently? Like, do you have herpes 1 or herpes 2? Have you ever been tested for HPV? Have you ever gotten chlamydia or syphilis? You know, when was the last time you had your tests? You know, what's your sexual testing strategy? How do you keep yourself safe? What safe sex practices do you follow? Just opening up the conversation in whatever way with any of those kinds of things gets the dialogue going in a way that makes it easier to talk about. And then you decide from there what's right for you and what your risk profile is.
Well, and I think, you know, some people may be uncomfortable feeling like, oh my God, this is so frank and can I say that? But I think you have a good point that if someone doesn't respond in the way that you would like, or they have a problem that you're asking these questions, then that says a lot about that person's integrity. Yeah. And maybe it's not somebody you want to get involved with anyway. So although it might feel awkward, it's a good way to get to know more about the person.
Practice. You get better with practice. My boyfriend, when I was like 21 or 2 or 3, somewhere in there, he gave me herpes, genital herpes. And I struggled for years telling my sexual partners that I had herpes. I felt like I was, you know, some kind of a denigrated woman or something when it was my boyfriend who cheated on me, had unprotected sex with another girl. Her name was Candy, and gave me herpes, which I've I've been laboring with that my whole life. Yeah. And, you know, so you don't want that to happen to you just because you're afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid to speak up. It's your body. It's your life. If he hadn't cheated on me, I wouldn't have that because we were monogamous. And so even those kinds of things can happen, but don't be afraid to stand up for yourself and to slow things down, because here's what's really important. For women, we need the environment to be safe for us to fully let go. And so that's a really good way to have that safe sex conversation, is for me to really surrender and have a lot of orgasms with you and have incredible, satisfying, pleasurable sex. Everything has to be just right for me. I'm fussy. I'm delicate. I don't want to catch anything. I need the room to be 76 degrees so I don't have to be cold when we're making love. I don't like it bright in the room. I like it kind of dark because I like to feel, and I like to feel more and see less. I really like to have a lot of towels down so I don't have to worry about getting lube on anything. I always use lube, and my preferred lubes are blah, blah, blah. I like coconut oil. I like avocado oil. I use only organic. I brought my own lube, whatever it might be. I insist that you wear a condom if we have intercourse because, you know, I'm using the following kinds of birth control. Whatever the conversations are that you need to have to make things feel really could you please go back and shave your beard a little bit more, because I don't want to get scratched. My skin's really sensitive. Or, you know, don't pull my hair. I never like that. Or whatever those things are. When you're making love with someone for the first time or the second time or the third time, this is kind of like the training program for guys. The sexual training program is that for them, again, testosterone is like, straight ahead, missy, yes, away. And for girls, we're like, you know, and so they don't understand us, and they need it to be explained.
Need some directions.
They need directions. They don't need to be bossed around. They need to be invited to understand the situation.
Yes.
And that makes it so much easier for guys if they can win by knowing exactly what you want. Because here's the thing. Every woman is totally different. The way they like to have sex, the way they come to orgasm, how they like to be touched, how hearty their vaginas are or delicate their vaginas are, how sensitive they are to things or not so sensitive they are to things. And not only that, across every woman being different, each woman every day is different.
Right.
So God love those men who are willing to go to figure all that out just to have sex with us. So you got to tell them.
Well, as you're speaking, I was thinking, oh gosh, you know, a man must be so relieved to have a woman coming. Because when you're speaking, it just sounds so like, oh wow, this woman knows who she is. She knows what she likes. Wow, this, and there's something really hot about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just like, okay, yeah, we're a delicate flower, but I really know what I like. I really know what turns me on. And there's something that's really attractive about that.
Yeah, I really need you to hold me first and look me in the eyes. I need to calm down. I need to heart connect. I need to drop in and be really present with you. I need to feel like no one's going to interrupt us. I need to know that everything's okay before we move on, because I have to relax before I can become aroused. For a lot of women, that's very much the way they are. They need to let go of the stress of the world and relax with the person before they rush into it. Unconscious sex is hurried and no talking and no sexual boundary discussions, no STI discussions. And that is a kind of sex that's rooted in guilt and shame. And the more that you embrace your sexuality and you let go of any shame about your body and how you look, because men, the masculine, let's say, I don't even mean men, the masculine doesn't even notice our cellulite or any of those things. They love femininity and feminine bodies, womanly bodies. So letting go of your own body shame and just enjoying yourself. What the masculine wants most is to give the feminine incredible pleasure. Mm-hmm. So the way to make him win is to give him feedback and show him how to do a great job and tell him he's doing a great job. That's the gift that you give him that he needs so much, is to know that he's just doing an awesome job for you.
Mm. And you're giving him the gift, telling him what you need, what you want, what you like, what you don't like. But what can you say to women about what men want sexually from the women that they're dating?
Yeah, well, the number one thing they want is to give you satisfaction. So he doesn't want to take, unless he's a jerk, and then, you know, don't date him. Like, you've got to suss that out. There are some guys that live under a rock and they just don't understand. There are some guys that watch way too much pornography. There are many guys that watch way too much pornography and they don't understand what real relating is. And so in some ways you have to find that guy that wants to connect with you at an emotional level, because that's what you want. And that's what you need often to be able to really let go. But what he wants most is to give you sexual satisfaction. He wants to give you orgasms. He wants to make you feel incredible pleasure. That's the gift you give him. Isn't it funny? You would think it's different because you've heard so much that, like, men now, they just want sex. They just want to get their rocks on. So it's not actually true. Like, I've worked with, I don't even know how many men over the years. And really 95, 98% of them are, they would give up their own orgasm to give you one.
Mm. Wow. So
what else do they like? They like most. Now, men are all over the spectrum like women. Some men are much more feminine. Some men have a lot of their own shame and things like that. But your average guy, your average dude, he likes you in lingerie. High heels are sexy. He likes you looking like super sexy and goddessy and turned on. He likes to give you wet kisses. Interestingly enough, he gives you testosterone when he kisses you, which actually turns you on more. So he likes wet kisses. He likes to give you oral sex. He loves to get oral sex because he doesn't get it very much and it feels incredible. He loves to have intercourse. You know, there are other things like anal sex that some women like it more than vaginal sex. And so if it's not right for you, that's okay. But there are guys that really like that and women who really like that. People are all over the place. Guys love role play. Guys love fun and adventure in the bedroom. They love dirty talk, but it doesn't have to be like anything that grosses you out. It's more like, oh, baby, you feel so good. You're so sexy. You're so hot. I love the way your muscles feel under my hands. Oh, man, you just look so sexy down there going down on me. That's like one of your best profiles, you know, whatever, you know, like, oh, you just feel like such a, you know, whatever they are, whatever is real for you. Dirty talk isn't dirty words. It's not that kind of like debasing or objectifying. That's one little aspect of dirty talk.
Yeah.
Dirty talk for guys is like oral feedback, letting, it's almost like he knows everything's okay and he can keep going because you're having a good time. So he
it's feeling good.
Relax.
Yeah. And you mentioned fun and adventure in the bedroom. So what are the parameters of the fun and adventure?
Well, there are a lot of things that are really fun. Let's just say you get a boyfriend and you guys are having a really fun time together sexually. Sometimes it's fun to plan a date and learn things together. Mm-hmm. You know, like one of the things that I put together was the Steamy Sex Ed video collection for couples to watch together, because couples that play together stay together. It's very true that when you two learn a thing together, it brings you closer. So for a lot of women who've said, how do I get my guy to do more interesting things in the bedroom? How do I get him to take the lead? How do I get him to not want to do the same old thing? How do I get it to be, especially married women, they say, I want him for sex, but I don't. And so what do you do in those cases? Or a girlfriend who's like, I really like this guy. He's the total package, but he's just not turning me on. Or I like him everywhere, but in the bedroom, he's kind of passive, or he doesn't seem to know what he's doing, or he's too rough, or he treats me like a porn star, or whatever. That's where you pull out the, let's try something new together. I've always wanted to learn da-da-da-da-da, you know? And that's where you can begin to train him without him knowing. You're kind of training him by having these lovemaking dates where you explore a new thing. Like, let's explore you going down on me, and then I'll give you oral. And while you're doing it, you try a bunch of things and stop and tell me what you're doing and tell me what that is. And I'll tell you whether I like it or not. Or you try things and I'll say, okay, go a little harder, go a little higher, go back and forth really fast. Now go up and down really slowly. You know, it gives you the opportunity to actually train him on the things that you like in that moment. The other thing is that tomorrow it'll be totally different and your yoni will want something entirely different. And so That's another thing with training your partner, is that every woman is different in every moment, where men are much more, that testosterone's very steady state, where estrogen's kind of all over the map. And so you have to train him to understand that what's fun is that there's always something fresh and new with a woman who's communicating her needs. And so this is the sexual soulmate pack that I'm giving you as my gift. It's the one of the six essentials for connected sex out of the Sexual Soulmates book. And the Sexual Soulmate Pact is so valuable, especially for new boyfriends, because you get started on the right foot by them loving to get your feedback instead of feeling like they've taken an ego strike.
Right.
Because you say to them, look, I'm just a little animal. You're just an animal. Like, we love to think we're these exalted beings, but we are animals like all the other animals on this planet. And some days I'm a kitty cat and some days I'm a lion and I don't always know what I'm going to be. And I'm going to just tell you where I am. Some days I'm more delicate. Some days I'm more hearty. Some days I've got the energy to do crazy sex positions. Other days I want you to just hold me and make very sweet, slow, erotic love to me. And I'm always going to tell you where I am with all that so that we can meet at that place that will provide me the most satisfaction. And you can tell me the same things. And every time I give you feedback, just say, okay, baby, or thank you. Don't say, oh, sorry, or I know that. Don't do that, because that shuts me down. Because I don't know what she wants until right in the moment. And I'm just reporting. I call it reporting in from my animal. I'm just reporting to you what my little animal is wanting right now. So you should be thanking me for that, because I'm giving you the tools to give me the most pleasure possible. So could we have that agreement, that sexual soulmate pact, that agreement that there is no such thing as failure. It's all just feedback to make you a better lover so that you can give me the most incredible pleasure possible. And he'll be like, if he doesn't say thank you or okay, baby, right, he didn't understand what you were explaining.
Well, I love this. I mean, who's going to say no to a lovemaking date? Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And then what you're talking about really sounds like, in order to be able to tell him or to tell your partner what it is you're needing, like you said, oh, I'm the kitty cat today, or I'm the lioness today, or I want it harder, I want it softer, that means that you really have to be in touch with yourself and your own body. So it sounds like what you're suggesting is a way to get even more deeply in touch with yourself, which is wonderful.
Honoring yourself. It's honoring yourself, which is a really beautiful thing as a woman. Soulmates honor.
It's gorgeous. Well, I wanted to ask you something which you went into about, is it possible to turn less than stellar sex into great sex? And yes. Now we have this tool of the lovemaking date, which sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
But how important do you think it is for a woman to have a kind of lovemaking date, let's say, with herself while she's dating out there trying to find the right mate? What can you say about that?
Yeah. So I think it's really important for women to have a solo sex practice. And it could be with toys, with your hands, with your faucet. And I also think touching your whole body and giving yourself genital massages is just, you could be watching TV and just, you know, fluff yourself up a little bit. It just keeps the tissues in good shape. Playing with your breasts and your nipples is really nice. Really just enjoying yourself in whatever way you can. If you look at any particular woman, she has a go-to strategy for getting yourself off. And often people get stuck in this one pathway to orgasm. Mm-hmm. You know, I slap my Hitachi wand on my clitoris and have an orgasm and go to bed. And that's good, but you can build up from there. As my friend Sherry Winston calls it, she calls it orgasmic cross training.
Oh, I love that.
And you can do that in solo sex. As a matter of fact, her book is excellent. It's called Succulent Sexcraft. It's probably right behind me on the
shelf somewhere there.
And in it, she talks about a lot of solo sex practices. And so keeping yourself turned on, it not only helps you attract a partner because you're a turned on woman.
Yes.
But it also helps you in your work, in your creativity, in your connection to yourself, in your connection to others, in your vitality, in your health. And so enjoying and teaching yourself to come in different ways, it just lights up more neural pathways to pleasure so that when you're with a partner, it's much easier for you to have orgasms from different kinds of stimulation. Because you can be stimulated on your clitoris, your G area, in your vaginal canal, up inside. You can have orgasms from your breasts being played with, from your nipples being played with, from kissing, from going down on a guy. There's erectile tissue in your throat. That Linda Lovelace was onto something. You can have oral orgasms from actually having a penis in your mouth. A lot of women can just have, you know, have orgasms from thinking about it. You can have orgasms from having your feet rubbed. You can have orgasms from having your stomach rubbed, your mons rubbed, your buns rubbed. Of course, you have a sponge in your vagina at the top of your vagina. That's your urethral sponge, which is what most people call the G-spot. And on the bottom of your vagina, between your vaginal canal and your rectum, is the perineal sponge. That's what you're going to have when you have anal orgasms. And that you can get hit from, you can touch it from inside your vagina or inside your rectum. So there's those perineal orgasms. I mean, there's so many ways to have orgasms, fantasy orgasms, role-playing orgasms. You might enjoy being tied up or held down or your hair pulled a little or being objectified, your boyfriend or your girlfriend making you walk around the room for them. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can get you off. So the more of those that you can try yourself, the better off you are.
So you're coming to then partnered sex, more in touch with your own body. And it's not so much, because I think sometimes with sex, we can feel like, oh, well, I'm feeling this way because that other person made me feel that way, versus feeling like, no, I can do that to myself. I'm bringing that to this partnership. It's not just the other person who's magically making me orgasm, right?
Well said.
Yeah, I love that. And let's see. How should a woman handle it if she finds that she's in a sexual relationship with somebody and she wants to explore something that maybe is outside of the bounds of and how do you recommend handling that situation if one or the other wants to do something that's maybe outside of what they've been doing that feels maybe really kinky, or what's a script for that, or how to handle that situation?
If you or your partner want to do something that the other partner is unsure about, I think it's often good to find out what it is that makes them insecure about it. What is it that's triggering them? Why does it seem like it might be dangerous or create fear for them? And really understand where they're coming from, because likely they are just imagining something that isn't even in your own thought process around this idea. So it's definitely about communicating and setting a scene and setting boundaries. If somebody said to me, what's the one thing, one piece of advice that you could give anybody about having better sex, I would say boundaries. And that's the weirdest thing, because most people would think of entirely different things. My number two would be engorgement, making sure that the woman is fully engorged, that all that erectile tissue is fluffed up and full of blood, because you can't really feel a lot of sensation until that happens. You're missing out on what is available to you. But the boundaries are kind of like what we were talking about with the sexual soulmate pact, the idea that on some days you don't want your hair and makeup messed up because you've got to go out, or other days you want to be totally ravished and pinned to the bed and, you know, just like taken, you know, or whatever. In the particular case of one person wanting something that might feel edgy to the other person, I think it just requires a lot more conversation to get confident about it and setting boundaries about, okay, if this happens, we'll stop. If it hurts in any way, we're not going to do it. If you get uncomfortable, you're going to tell me, whatever those things are.
And it could be something like bondage or something along those lines. But what about if someone suggests actually another person?
Yeah.
And they want to get outside of, you know, the monogamy and bring in someone else. How do you recommend someone handle that? Deciding whether or not that's something that they even want to do, or just keep it purely fantasy?
Well, that's funny, because one of the things that I tell a lot of people who have an idea that they want to do something a little bit kinky or out of the heterosexual missionary style normative sex category is I say, start with fantasy. Give your partner a really good hand job, or give her a really good, you know, genital massage or an extended orgasm date, and tell her a sexy story while you're doing it to her that is this fantasy that you want to try. So you're telling her this really sexy story, and it's just dirty talk while you're getting her off. And then later say, you know, that is actually something I'd like to try. What did you think about that? It's a great way to bring the idea in mm-hmm. a way that's less confrontational. Now, to specifically get to, what do I do? How do I talk to my partner if I'd like to open up our relationship? Maybe it's a threesome, maybe it's polyamory, maybe it's an open relationship. I don't know yet. I'm not mm-hmm. sure what I want, but I'd like to be open to having more partners than my single monogamous partner. That's when you just start thinking about, well, what is it that you want? Do you even know? Or is it something that you just want to go out and look for as an opportunity? One of the things that I've found with people is that though they might have something in their mind, like most guys have in their mind, I want to have a threesome with two women.
Right.
Most women have that same idea in their mind, but I think it's actually, if you said to a woman, well, why wouldn't you want to have sex with two guys? If she's heterosexual, why wouldn't you want to have sex with two guys? Because then you could just be the center of attention and two guys could just like totally do you.
Right.
And a lot of women who I say that to, they're like, I never thought of that. That sounds just opening up the pleasure chest for you, mama.
That's right.
But so say you want something like that. You want a threesome. Well, a threesome, if you're asking your boyfriend if you can have a threesome with another woman, he's probably going to say yes.
Right.
If it's another man, he's probably going to be like, I'm no homo, you know.
Yeah.
But once you explain what it is, why you want to do it, what's interesting about it, how, under what conditions could they feel comfortable, what behaviors in bounds, what behaviors out of bounds. I mean, there are now apps like Threesomer is an app where you can hook up with other people who want to do threesomes, couples and singles, singles who want to join in, couples who want to find someone. So interesting. One of the things that I would say about opening up your relationship is don't ask your monogamous friends to have group sex with you. Right. Go out and meet people who are already doing it or have done it and do that with them, because you could ruin your relationship by triggering people for whom that ask is too large.
Yes.
Once you've had a few experiences and you have the safe sex talk with those partners and you've talked about your boundaries and you've talked about your desires and you've had the agreement that, look, no matter what happens during this group experience, if any single person in the group is feeling left out in any moment, say, hey guys, I'm feeling left out, and bring them back in. Because it's most important that when you create a sacred container for a multiple person sexual dynamic, that you're all making sure that you take the responsibility for yourself to make sure you feel cared for, and you raise your hand if you don't, and that you keep your eye out for everyone. So it's a lot to manage when you're getting started early on having a group, you know, any kind of group dynamics, because you've got your partnership, they might feel left out, the new person might be getting all the attention, you know, there's a lot of that kind of stuff. And so just having those open lines of communication, hey, we're going to create this loving, super sexy experience, and we're all going to try things. And if anytime anybody's like, say it, and yes, we'll stop and reconnect. And so it's communication. It's all communication. So much of it.
And then on the flip side, if this is something that someone is completely not comfortable with at all, I've heard people say sexually that, well, I feel like I have to do it because, you know, if I don't do it, then I don't know if the relationship will continue. So what would you say to someone in that position who just really doesn't want to try anything like that? They just want to be monogamous soulmates, sexual soulmates.
Yeah. The interesting thing is, I would say that you're with the wrong partner. If your partner wants to have a lot of sex with other people and you don't, it's not a good match. That being said, we women, we go through many stages of our sexual life experience. You know, we've got the fresh teenager life experience. We've got our sex in our 20s. Then in our 30s, often we're thinking about having babies and we're kind of nesting and we want to close up and we want to come back into a monogamous experience. And then 15 years later, we're like, okay, I've been having sex with this guy for like 20 years now, and I'd like to do some more stuff, but I still love him. What should I do? And maybe opening it up then. You know, a lot of, you get better at sex. The older you get, the better you get at sex, because practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
You go through a lot of iterations. Like right now, I'm honoring that I only want, you know, I only want to be monogamous. Or right now, I'm honoring that this is my time to have a lot of sexual experiences, and I want to have some really great sex with some super awesome people in very safe ways, where at the end we're all like, that was so awesome. You know, like that's what you should be going for. It's like, we all did some high five, everybody. That was awesome. You know?
So just to allow yourself to be where you are, wherever you are on that journey, and to honor that.
And to know that it may change, but wherever you are now is where you are.
Gorgeous. And so let's just talk about your boyfriend training program. What is this all about?
Okay. Guys, so here's my boyfriend training program. And it's not guys' fault that they think they know way more than they know. It's testosterone. They're like under the guise of testosterone. It puts blinders on to their ability level. And it protects their ego. It's what makes men go kill the saber-toothed tiger to protect us. They think they're right, and they move forward, and this is why they don't stop and ask for directions. It's just, they're just directed forward, and they think they know what they're doing, and they're very confident. You know, and women, we're like, I don't know, I'm not really sure if I'm up for the test. And guys are like, oh, I can do it. Where the woman would be more qualified for it. But estrogen is different, right? And so you don't want to say, so in a heterosexual relationship where it's a man and a woman, he doesn't want her to boss him around. He already thinks he knows what he's doing. He already thinks he's really, really good. Like if you asked 100 guys where they are on a scale of 1 to 10 as far as lovers, they're all going to be 70, 80, 90%. They're going to say they're somewhere in there.
Their own self-rating.
They're going to rate themselves 7, 8, 9.
Okay.
Some maybe a 6 if they don't have a lot of experience. But across that, on a scale of 1 to 10, half of them are going to be below average and half of them are going to be above average. But most of them are going to think they're above average. When they're not, they're below average. So you get this new boyfriend. He's okay, but he's not great in bed. He's got to be trained. You got to teach him to do the sexual soulmate pact. You got to teach him that you're an animal and he's an animal. You got to teach him that you're an estrogenic dominant woman and that you change every freaking second. And that you just got to hang on for the ride. Right? And then you got to teach him, look, I'm going to tell you what I like. I want us to learn some stuff together, because there's two kinds of sexual training. There's explicit and implicit. If you don't do anything, he's just going to learn. He's going to do whatever he does, and he's going to learn from you just kicking back. And he's going to get from whatever your behavior is. So if you're just like not saying anything, not telling him what you really like, then he doesn't have any information to go on. So if you explicitly train him, which is way better, sometimes you can do it with just invitation. Like, honey, today, you know what I would really love? I would really love it if we could have that, turn off the lights, put on the candles, turn on the fire, lock the door, get a pitcher of water, have a glass of wine. I'd love you to give me a full body massage with oil and totally relax me. And then I'm going to lie you down on the bed and I'm going to slide all over you. And then I want you to hold me. And then I want to have a really hot makeout, because I felt lately like we've been really rushing our sex. And that's been awesome because I'm so hot for you right now that it's my fault that we've been doing it. But today, here's what I want to do. Would you be willing to do that? I'd like to also practice some oral techniques on you. I'd like you to tell me how you like me to go down on you. I want you to coach me through it and just tell me a bunch of things that I might never have thought of. You know, something like that. Like,
okay, I can just imagine the guy hearing this. Yes.
Right. It sounds good, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's training a guy, and training him isn't just like, training is both communicating what you need, communicating what you desire, letting him know any boundaries that you have, like don't get oil in my hair and don't get it here because my mascara will run all over and I don't like that. I like to look pretty while we make love, or whatever is your thing. Like, you don't even wear makeup. Yeah. Doesn't matter, but I'm just throwing out stuff because I have hair and makeup on today. So, and if I had sex just before this, that's what I would have said to my husband. Don't mess up my hair.
No.
I have messed up my hair and makeup. But the idea of training your partner is having him train you too.
Mm-hmm.
Training goes both ways, sexual training. It's learning new techniques together. It's asking for what you want. It's teaching the other person what you need in the moment. And then it's acknowledgement of that, appreciation of that, making sure that your lover knows they did an outstanding job delivering on your request, because that's the other piece of training. You never train a dog and then don't give them the treat. You train them, they do the right thing, you get the treat. The treat is the affection, the appreciation, the acknowledgement, the respect. Men love respect. They want to be respected. So yes, just as they want to give you incredible pleasure, they want to be respected for doing such.
Ah, wow, that's great. It's so funny that it seems like there, as I said at the beginning of the introduction, there's so much information out there about dating, but having this kind of frank conversation about sex is so refreshing. And I think all of the people listening to this conversation got to feel the same way. You know, why is it that we go into the bedrooms not being able to say all of these things to our lovers? So I really appreciate everything that you've shared with us today. And we could go on and on and on, but I just am checking the time and I want to be respectful of yours. And I know you have so much more to share. And I know that you have a free gift, but before we go there, are any last words about sexual soulmates?
Yeah. for sexual soulmates, you can create a sexual soulmate. And I've actually given you a lot of the things that are the essentials for connected sex. I've talked about really being present together in the bedroom. That's the number one rule of the sexual soulmate is be, don't do. Don't try to do him. Just be there and say what is real for you in the moment and go back to that honoring thing. Number two is setting up your lover space in a way that really supports your surrender to your pleasure together. Getting anything that's bothering you out of the way. It could be you need to say something. It could be you need to calm down. You could need to do some tapping. You could need a vulva massage or a foot rub or my neck hurts. A lot of times my lovemaking with my husband starts with a neck rub or because I got a whiplash. So I've got a little neck problem. If something is not flowing for you, you know, so honoring that and making that space the right space so you feel totally safe. The sexual soulmate pact, which is agreeing that we're animals and that feedback is what will make us have the pleasure that we desire to have with each other. The polarity, the invitation, the masculine, feminine, the role playing, the lingerie, the, you know, giving him oral pleasuring, giving him lots of feedback, letting him know he's a winner, respecting him, really bringing the sexy on as a feminine woman. Men love that about their women. And then the embodied sexuality, which is the making eye contact, being held and holding. A man loves to hold a woman as much as a woman loves to be held. Mm-hmm. Teach him how you want to be held and allow him to hold you. Allow yourselves to syncopate your breathing and connect your hearts and do those things. Give yourself some time, you know? Slow down and just relax together and really connect as those little animals that you are and then learn together. Have these erotic play dates that you look forward to on Friday night. We're going to try, you know, expanded orgasm strokes, or we're going to find my G-spot, you know?
We're looking forward to that date for sure.
Definitely. Missing, keep looking. Could you press a little harder? It might be up there.
Well, thank you so much. And can you share with everyone what your free gift is so they can learn more?
I'm going to give you one of the six essentials to connected sex from Sexual Soulmates. It's the Sexual Soulmate Pact. It's a downloadable little ebook. I also give you a couple of videos that come with it so that I can really... It's just a few pages long, but it really peels apart exactly how it works so that you can train your next lover to just love the feedback that you give them, and then they can give you the most incredible sexual experiences, and they will feel so pleased with themselves, and you will be so orgasmic.
Oh my goodness. This sounds fantastic. Everybody, to get the free gift, just find the link below the video or the audio that you're listening to on the page. That's where you'll find the link. And Susan, thank you so much for being with us today. As I said, I would love to talk with you for hours, but I really enjoyed our time together. Thank you for all of the valuable wisdom you brought us today.
A pleasure.
And everyone listening or watching, thank you for being here with us. I know that you got so much valuable insights, tools, techniques, everything that you need to really turn your dating sexual relationships into sexual soulmate partnerships. So after you take advantage of Susan's free gift, make sure that you check out the VIP package. You can find out all the details about how to do that below on the page. And that means that you can listen back to today's talk with Susan, because I know you will want to listen to this again and again. You can also access all of the content from all of our other amazing speakers as much as you would like, whenever you like. So have a look at that as well. And you can also find out more about that at ultimatelovelifemakeover.com/VIP. So with that, we look forward to having you come back and join us for more of the Ultimate Love Life Makeover. See you all soon. Take care. Bye-bye.